Helicopters figure into large numbers of military and civilian federal operations, but when they crash, few people survive. So yesterday, a team of experts from NASA, the military, and the FAA conducted this test at NASA's Langley Research Center.
3, 2, 1, release.
NASA's Martin Annette was the lead test engineer for the helicopter fuselage crash test, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so we heard it. Tell us exactly what you did and where this all took place.
It took place down at NASA Langley Research Center here in Hampton, Virginia, and we took an old CH-46 helicopter, which is a Marine Sea Knight, and managed to get the fuselage part isolated out with the rest of the other components had been removed from, by the Marines. So we took that fuselage and we outfitted it with the instrumentation and crash test dummies and conducted the test yesterday.
So what specifically are you looking for?
Well, originally NASA has focused more on the crashworthiness aspect of the airframe. What can you do to the airframe to improve it as we change materials and go into newer technologies and different designs for the future? Ultimately, it grew into a much bigger endeavor as we started talking with our counterparts in the Army and the Navy, and they had a lot of interest in introducing and putting in their own crashworthy systems like restraints and seats. And so I just couldn't say no to a lot of this stuff, and so it went from just doing airframe evaluation to just about everything that is crashworthy in a helicopter.
And it sounds like you were pretty excited to be able to crash this helicopter, too. Is that right?
Yeah, we don't get a chance to do something this large, I guess, with this amount of this much data too often in terms of crashworthiness. We have been lately doing tests down here for Orion crew modules where we actually take it and throw it into a water basin to simulate the return into the ocean, but we haven't had a chance to damage and crash an aircraft.
And so tell us the design of this test. In other words, you didn't just watch it crash and go see what happens. You had special paint and there were instrumentation inside. Tell us about how the test was designed.
Yeah, the probably the most striking thing you'll see when you first look at the pictures is the polka dots that we have all over the one side of the helicopter. We had 8,000 dots that were about an inch in diameter that we painted because we wanted to use that to measure the deformation of the airframe as it hit the ground. We can use high-speed cameras and we can record and effectively track each one of those points and determine the relative motion. On board, we put high-speed cameras and we put GoPro cameras, which people really like to use and put on their helmets, and they can record high-definition television. And those cameras are really effective because they're ruggedized. So we put at least 11 of those in that helicopter, and then we put 7 high-speed cameras, and we focus those inside on a total of 13 crash test dummies that have instruments in them and 2 mannequins that did not. So there were a lot of experiments on board.
And so based on what you saw with your own eyes and the little bit of data that you've been able to analyze so far, any initial comments on what happened and what perhaps we could learn from it?
Well, there was a lot of different objectives with different experiments, and what we tried to do as best as possible was set up comparative experiments. For instance, if there was a seat that had a specialized restraint, we put it against the standard restraint that's used in the military. We saw, you know, interesting things that you could see in the data in terms of the forces on the dummies. What's really telling is when you look at the high-speed video and how these things behave as the test article hits the dirt and as things are just kind of deforming and moving and how much motion goes through. So you can see the whole progression of events with the high speed. We haven't really gone through too much detail because we have to spend a few more days kind of picking over what happened out there, to do some investigations and kind of forensically work our way out of there in terms of taking all the equipment out, all the dummies out. There were some probably some pictures that people will see on the internet of dummies lying on top of each other and stuff like that. And there are some experiments where the collapse of a litter experiment where there was 3 dummies that were stacked in a patient litter for the Army, and they did collapse. So not every seat was as bad as that. Some of the energy-absorbing seats performed very well. So there's a lot of different results that we're getting right now, and it's It's pretty amazing to look at some of the video and what happens during the impact.
We're speaking with Martin Annette. He's the lead test engineer for helicopter fuselage crash test at NASA. And I was wondering if industry was there, since they build the things and the government pays them to build them, they must have a stake in all of this also.
Yeah, not only did they participate by providing seats, they contributed. They helped out a lot through the process. The seat manufacturers were here. Some of the seats were donated by companies, and some of them were actually part of the agreement where we had seat and restraint manufacturers coming in here and saying, all right, do you want to put your system in? We did have one company that wanted to look at an active restraint system for the pilot co-pilot, and we had an agreement with them at NASA, and they were able to put that in on the cockpit dummies. And throughout the whole process, I had to get different seats from different people. I didn't have to procure a lot. I just got a lot of donated seats that were in good condition or used as prototypes, but still perfectly good for a crash test, obviously.
And that probably, I saw NASA tweeting this out yesterday, and there were a fair number of comments saying things like, shouldn't you be working on space shuttle programs or some things? I guess people don't think of this as a core NASA mission.
There's an A in NASA that has to do with aeronautics, I guess, and that's not as big as the space part of it, but we do a lot of research in fixed wing and rotorcraft and in a lot of different aeronautics aspects. And one small aspect of the rotary wing research that's done here at NASA is crashworthiness. And I know that I do hear that a lot, is why are we crashing stuff? Some of this, the best answer I can give you is because we can. The facility that we have is unique, and it's the only one of its kind in the world. So this I see as an asset. So that's why we can do it here, I guess.
And in terms of the issue of helicopter safety, what are the major concerns for NASA? And are your concerns about helicopter safety different from those of the FAA or of the military?
I would say we're all in the same boat in terms of the things we care about for making air rotorcraft safer. We have different requirements on the civilian side, and I say civilians, so I would put NASA and FAA kind of in the same boat. And then the DOD maybe has more stringent requirements because of the mishap rates and the things that they have to protect and the systems that they have inside. But we all have to deal with the same kind of things. What are those systems going to look like? How would you evaluate them? Can you evaluate them simply by putting a crash test dummy on a sled or something like that, or dropping it? Or is it worth doing what we just did yesterday, which is going to a full scale and getting the whole effect of having an airframe with a seat with a restraint and the whole combined effect? Is that something that the DOD wants to do? Yeah, obviously they did, because they participated in this. And the FAA, to some extent, wants to be able to establish more stringent guidelines when it comes to the next generation of new transport airplanes that are going to have newer materials.
Yeah, because the ship that you use this time, I guess, is obsolete. They don't make them anymore, and it's a big, sort of a biggish type of helicopter.
Yeah, it's a Sea Knight, which is a CH-46, and the larger scale version of that is a Chinook, which is still being flown. And it's a tandem rotor. And the once I got these airframes, it wasn't because I wanted that particular aircraft. It's because I like the idea of a continuous cabin with a fuselage. I wanted to have a fuselage section, and short of building my own, I wanted to get something that looked like an airframe. The dimensions and the way that the structure is built is pretty typical of not just a rotorcraft, but anything from a commuter jet up, in terms of how it has frames and how it has a skin that takes load. And so that airframe in and of itself was typical. And what I wanted to have is a baseline test where I could see what the loads were going to be on this airframe, and then I can retrofit it with composite and new materials and see if that make an improvement in reduce loads on the occupant.
And just a background question, how dangerous are helicopters, I guess, when you compare it to something similar, maybe similar-sized airplanes?
They're certainly they have a higher mishap rate for sure than a fixed wing, but I do believe I don't have the data for civilian versus military, but it's certainly higher in a lot of ways than, you know, obviously commercial transport, which is considered, you know, the safest form of travel. Visibility because of the mishap rates that are going on in the military, and then every day you hear about smaller helicopters like medevacs and EMTs and traffic helicopters having crashes and stuff and touring helicopters. So that's a concern also in the industry where there's a lot of heavy lift capability where they have to take a lot of people out to like oil rigs and stuff. The civilian industry is certainly interested in this because those accidents happen a lot too.
And we understand that you're going to conduct another test next year as well.
Yeah. So I have another airframe, although this one doesn't look too bad from at first glance, but we'll have to pick it up and take a look underneath. And the second one will have the floor will be removed and some components will be swapped out from aluminum to composite. And that's really the goal of NASA, is to see what is it that we can do to the airframe to improve it that people are already starting to implement and people already want to use for new aircraft. Can we actually get those systems on board and have them be crash-worthy and have them optimized for crash-worthiness?
Martin Annette is the lead test engineer for helicopter fuselage crash testing at NASA. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.